taken from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28, which is on page 1054 in the Pew Bibles. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" This is the word of the Lord.
So we're looking at one of those themes and passages we remember every year in our Christian calendar. We tend to know what happened. We know this story quite well. But there's so much to it. There's so many little details we could look into. Fortunately for you today, we have a family service, so I only get to speak for a few minutes. So I'm just going to focus on one or two little things. But basically, this is a moment when the people in Jerusalem, their capital city, are saying, "This is our Messiah." They're recognizing Jesus is their Messiah. So they're quoting Psalm 118 when they say, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And Psalm 118 is a messianic psalm or prophetic psalm, which means that when it was written, there's an element of prophecy in it, and it's talking about the Messiah who is to come. So as they're saying this, they are recognizing that he is a Messiah. And that's why the Pharisees are a bit kind of moved by this and saying, "Look, Jesus, shut them down," because they're actually recognizing you as the Messiah. So let us just have a bit of a glance at that psalm. It's a psalm that repeats many times, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." And it says things like, "I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." These are other phrases that are used in the New Testament to talk about Jesus. He was obviously rejected by the Jewish leaders, but he is the cornerstone of our faith. "The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." And then it says, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us." And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. And then it says, "Join in the festal procession. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." So again, it's coming into actually this moment in time. So what they are saying is, "Jesus, you are our Messiah," but there's a huge problem. There's a massive problem coming that a few days later they're going to turn back on him. So they're now saying, "We welcome you," and it actually says because they knew, they had heard of his miracles, and they're obviously expecting him to do something that he didn't do. They're expecting him to overthrow the Romans and be a political leader and to do miracles on their behalf, which he didn't do. So our passage today says, "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The problem is that the King, that the Lord that is coming, is not what they expected. So my question to us today is, who is the king that we are welcoming today? He's a king who wasn't who they expected him to be. So have we built sometimes an image of who Jesus is that's not always who he actually is? Or are we letting Jesus reveal himself to us? Are we open enough and kind of can we have an open mind to say, well, Jesus, maybe I'm getting you wrong in some areas, and I want to really know you for who you are? Because the Jewish leaders at the time got a wrong image of who he was, and we can get a wrong image of who he is. So Jesus isn't what we guess or assume or expect of him. He isn't what we'd sort of, if we all join together and say, well, let's have a debate and say, define who Jesus is and get a conclusion and just write it down, then this is Jesus. No, Jesus is Jesus. He is who he is. And our job is not to tell him who he should be, but actually to discover who our king is. And in the last week of Jesus' life, we just can see so much of who he is. So he's a king, but not always exactly as we'd expect him to be. He washes feet. He comes in a donkey. He isn't interested in being seen as a strong political leader. He's humble. He is good. His love endures forever. He's on a journey to a cross where there's pain and there's suffering. And he's just not doing what people expected him to do. And the other question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we welcome him in our lives? Because if he's a king, he is someone we are called to follow, not expect him to follow us, because he's a king. And if he's a king, then it's not for us to decide how he should do things, but it's for us to follow what he says. And are we ready to follow a king who eats with prostitutes and corrupt people? Are we ready to welcome the one who redefines Christianity and may shake us out of our comfort zones? He is a king, but not always exactly as we'd expect him to be. So we've never seen him. I've never seen him, at least. But we know that he's the most beautiful being in the universe. We partly know who he is through the Bible and through our experiences. And we know that he's such a beautiful being. He's got such a beautiful heart. And he's so different to everything we'd expect from a strong leader. He walks on the donkey instead of a stallion. He knows he's going to be crucified, and he knows he's going to be tortured, and yet he's happy to go into that city for us. He knows that all those people who are cheering and saying, oh, blessed be the Lord, blessed be our king, are also the people who in a few days' time are going to say, crucify him. And yet he has nothing against them. He's not saying, oh, you're saying this now, but in 3 days I want to see you all because you're all going to come and criticize me. He's not. He's letting them enjoy the moment, and he's not indifferent. So he's a king that's completely different to any other king, and he might be a bit different to some aspects of how we think he is. So are we still willing to know him as he is? Or will we just say, la, 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 no, no, you're supposed to be this way, and not let him reveal himself, not him, let him speak to us, not let him say who he is? And I think our life's journey is a life where we discover who Jesus is, and we continue to discover who he is. And sometimes we're quite quick to put him in a box or to decide Jesus is this way or that way. And actually, he's a king who's revealing himself to us the whole time. And there's more to discover of who he is. And I'd say there's a very small chance that an eternal being like Jesus will be exactly what our world society feels he should be. Because that perception always changes. In an ever-changing world, and maybe even a never-changing church, Jesus is always the same. So our job is not to listen to what the church or the society thinks how Jesus should be, but let him reveal himself to us. Let him show himself to us through the Bible, through prayer, through experiencing his love. And there's a quote I love from C.S. Lewis, and he says, and I've probably said it before, He says, Aslan, you know, is not a tame lion. And Aslan is obviously the Jesus figure in his stories. Aslan is not a tame lion. He's a king, but he is who he is, but he also wins us over. And for all of you who kind of love like these very nerdy films like I do, I don't know if you remember Lord of the Rings. And Lord of the Rings is the king called Aragorn, and he's a guy who's, throughout the whole movies, he's just this humble guy who's just fighting through all the time, trying to go for a bigger cause and just giving his life for a bigger cause, fighting. And then at the end, we see that he is actually the king, and the king that people recognize because they've been fighting with him. He's been with them the whole time. He's a king that's very different to any king they knew in kind of in that the context of that movie, because he's not there to be sort of far away and just doing like kingly stuff, but he's there to fight the battle. He's there to fight alongside those he's ruling or he will rule over. He's a king who's earned their trust. And that's Jesus in a nutshell. He's the one who fights with us. He's the one who earns our trust and our love and our respect. But at the end of the day, he is the king. So all I want to share today is and invite us to know Jesus, firstly, for who he is, and secondly, as our king, to recognize that he is our king. So if he is the king, then our Lord's status, image, need of recognition, need to bow down before him. If he is the king, then our Lord money needs to bow down before him. If he is the king, then our Lord's comfort and selfishness need to bow down before him. If he is our king, then we aren't kings anymore. If he is our king, then we are free to bow down before him and welcome him in our hearts as he deserves today. He is a king, but not always exactly as we'd expect him to be. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the most beautiful being in the universe. Your humility, your love, your passion, your joy, they just win us over. It just makes us want to follow you and worship you and recognize you. And Lord, in the midst of so many voices we hear today and so many different perceptions of who you are, or who you should be, or who you might be, Jesus, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us for who you are. Because we don't want to worship an image of who we think you are, but we want to worship you for who you are. And we want to invite you to be our king. We want to invite you to be the king over everything we are and everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen.